Well, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers and YouTube. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Sex.
Good evening.
And Trouble the Cat has joined us. She's in your lap. Or he is in your lap. Oh, I'm sorry. I mislabeled a cat's gender on the show. That's the first of the many incorrect hijinks that are going to happen tonight. Please apologize to it must be the glittery eye makeup. Please apologize to Trouble. Nicole, Thanksgiving is this week, and there's a couple of things about Thanksgiving. Yeah. A, it's a place to get together with friends and family, a lot of whom you haven't seen in a while, and drink and eat and have a good time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right? But actually,
our guest is already piping in. I was going to say the flip side of that is white oppression. So, raping and pillaging non-white people. So, in the vein of that, I have brought on a friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time, and a man who stands up to white oppression and kicks its ass is my friend Jigga Jones.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was also going to say the co-host of Control Chaos with Gary Garber. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, man. We still doing it, you know, early in the morning. Usually I like do Mondays and stuff like that, and Mondays and Tuesdays, you know, just because of the schedule and all that stuff. Be up in the morning. I do a lot of drinking. I'm up at like 3 o'clock in the morning most of the time. So by the time the show is on, by 9 o'clock, I'm asleep, you know.
Have you ever overslept for the Control Chaos show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, boy. I tell you what, shoot, I've been drunk a couple of times too, like when we was in studio, when we were still in Burbank doing it.
I remember the Burbank studio.
Yeah, man, I got drunk and passed out in the studio. They had that couch in there, and I was asleep on that moment. When he came in, I said, "See, I'm already here." He said, "Yeah, you look." I said, "It's radio; they can't see."
Well, I will tell you, and you have some of the good wine.
Mm.
We were talking before the show. You got some of the good wine, but it's not, the Cisco that we like to drink. And you were saying that now you're in Las Vegas, it's hard to find Thunderbird out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, man. I've been looking for since I got here. You know, there was one place I went to on over there by the racetrack, and they had it. But that was the last time they had it. I've been went back over there trying to get a case of it. And they were like, Arabic dudes. You know, they had no idea. Yeah. It was something good that they got rid of.
It's liquid gold. Nicole, have you ever had Thunderbird?
No, I've heard terrible stories about it. It's a good way to have a bad night, from what I hear.
It can be. You know,
what's the worst night you ever had on Thunderbird, Jigga?
Oh, no, there's many nights you wake up in jail after drinking it, you know? You don't remember none of that shit. You'd be like, what the fuck happened now? You're reading your pink slip, be like, I did all this? Oh, shit. Oh, man, I hope nobody saw it, you know? But yeah, you know, but in LA, you can get arrested for anything. Everything's illegal in LA. Anything cool is illegal. You can't put nothing on your car, you know, because the police is looking to make some money. Woo! Oh yeah, what you got there? You got a license plate light out. You know, if they were really serving the community, they would drive up alongside and say, hey, you got a license plate out, you should fix that. And whew, off they go. But no, they gotta come in and get that money, boy. That's what it's about.
Money and expensive force.
Yeah, especially in LA, they find new fees for everything. You know, they find out that you done got, like, a friend of mine got the solar panels put on his house so he can cut down his electric bill. Because, you know, $1,000 electric bill ain't nothing over there. And he put the damn panels up there, spent all that money. And then his electric bill went down to just about nothing. And then Jerry Brown said, no, it's not fair that you're not paying that. We put a solar panel tax on there. So if a neighbor on the right of you pays this, and neighbor on the left of you pays that, we average that, that's your solar panel tax. Like, ain't this a bitch? You're back to paying $800 and you got solar panels.
The man's really keeping the solar panels down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just saying that's fucked up.
I'll tell you what's not fucked up, though. Speaking of drinking, I'm having some Raise energy drink right here. This Woo. Is Nicole loves this flavor. This is voodoo flavor.
Voodoo.
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything about cultural appropriation, but it's delicious. It's like a fruit punch But Raise energy drink, Jacob. What is your preferred energy drink?
I don't mess with no energy drinks, man. That stuff just sent me through the roof. I'll be stealing cars. We were
this will make you concentrate when you're stealing cars. This is Raise energy drink. It's the best. It has great flavors like Baja Lime that tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. They have Voodoo Fruit Punch flavor, Galaxy Burst that tastes like Fruity Pebbles, Sour Gummy Worms. And the best part about Raise energy drink, zero calories. Zero carbs.
Speaking of which, Taco Bell brought back the Enchirito, dog. Only for a limited time.
Well, get some Raise energy drink Baja Lime, get your Enchirito, and you're set.
Now, where do they sell this at? Is it, do you go to liquor stores to get it, or is it like...
No, they don't have it at liquor stores. They don't have it at 7-Elevens. They do have it at GNCs and Gems, but why pay full price? Use our code in the description of the show if you're listening on a podcast catcher or on YouTube, and you get 15% off a case of Raise energy drink. It's the best. You'll be bouncing off the walls. You'll have energy like Jigga Jones, and you will love it, and it tastes good, and you... Zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash,
I'm gonna
zero
have to diet. Try that. How long does it take to get? Like, if you ordered on the thing there?
Well, they're pretty speedy, and then it comes in a nice, colorful box, and they give you a few samples of this and that. It's really good. So, definitely get that.
I'll write that down because I'm drinking. I won't remember it.
R-A-Z-E.
R-A-Z-E. Oh, yeah, my God.
Raise, like, raise, like, you know. Kind of like, I remember when I was a kid, they taught us what the word raise meant, and it had to do with riots, so it was, I don't know.
Yeah, when you start burning, please burn it to the ground, raise it to the ground.
Right. Yeah. Now, when I met you probably like 12 riot years class, ago.
People don't know how to riot out here, and they don't know how to protest either.
Oh, really? Yeah, I did see your video. Now, tell Nicole how to protest, because if she doesn't like something, what do you think she should do?
Well, it depends on how severe whatever it is, but the main thing is always to buy road flares. You know, they're cheap, they're very effective, and, you know, nobody's going to be mad when you're walking around with road flares, you know, because the road flare will burn hot for 15 minutes long after you are gone.
Doesn't that put you at risk, though, for, like, the police to say that you're armed?
No, the road flare is nothing. It's considered a safety device.
If you're broken down in the road, you need a road flare so people don't safety run device. You over.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be safe. That's all. Just in case something happens, I need to signal somebody. You know. Now, see, my buddy had a flare gun, and that was funny. But they got him for that because that's actually considered an explosive device. Right. You know, when it's not used on in maritime use. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Once you take it off the boat, it could be a felony.
Okay.
So very semantics. Flare gun, but you can have a road flare.
Yeah.
And honestly, a road flare would do more damage than a flare gun.
Oh, hell yeah. Because you take that road flare, you kick it off, and you put it up under where the gas goes into the car. You put it on that tire closest to it and walk away. Walk away, walk away, and laugh as it burns. You know. You know.
I didn't tell you, Nicole. Jigga Jones is the guru of the ghetto. He's got a lot of tips on a lot of things. And if you go to his YouTube channel, you'll see a lot. And, yeah, I've been watching them, and I've been getting some good tips. Now, how did you become the guru of the ghetto?
Well, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood that was full of felons and shit. And one of my uncles was like they call him a game hunter back then. That's the guy that tries to figure out things that'll make money. You know, like whether it's, you know, stealing from parking meters, doing credit cards, doing checks. So one of his things was he said that, you know, you have to, if you ever get caught doing something, don't get caught doing it again. You know, if your thing is check fraud and you get caught doing check fraud, whoop, no more check fraud, you do something else now. You know, so, you know, when you get caught.
You start copying credit card numbers, you start, you start doing other things, you start jacking people.
And you start building a repertoire of shit to do. You know, and so I can't do these things anymore, but I can tell you how to do it and I get caught. So that's where it started coming. Then, you know, I was like when I was going by the street name Big Nip, because my first name is Nipsey. And
now you tell me.
Yeah, so it's Big Nip, you know, but you know, that
big Nip
too big when the Chinese people started moving in the neighborhood. You know, people yelling, "Hey Nip, hey Nip," and people was getting into fights, you know. So you couldn't do that with the Japanese people, excuse me, you know. But anyway, man.
So you were causing warfare in your neighborhood because people called you Big Nip.
Oh yeah, because they thought, no, you're not talking to him. You talking to him, you talk to me. Like, no, man, that's my name, Nipsey. You know, but I stopped going by that when all this other stuff had happened. So I just, you know, my grandfather told me, you know, you keep hanging out with them jigaboos, you're gonna turn into one. And I'm like, well, shit, I got shit. And he always said, be the best you can be. So I'll be the number one in America, you know.
Yeah, the number one what?
The number one nigga in America.
Okay, I just wanted to get that clear because I can't say it, but you can.
Oh no, you can. But you know, people are crazy like that. You know, that they started that lie. You know, but the thing is that what they've done is they've made black people so fragile. Oh, he said the N-word. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to turn to stone. Stupid shit. It's just a fucking word. In the end, you're a fucking adult. If somebody called you a name and you act stupid and risk doing a felony charge because somebody called you a name, you're still a kid on the playground mentally. You haven't come anywhere with that. So somebody can call you a name and you act like a fool. Obviously, you must be that then. You know,
they are must be just other right. Words? Huh? Are there any words that you find actually offensive, or are you cool with pretty much all words?
Taxes.
Well, that's a fucked up word.
Mm-hmm. No, really.
That's the T word.
Yeah. You know, that's why I moved to Nevada. You know,
yeah, no, I, when did you move to Nevada? Because I know you, I met you probably like 12 years ago.
Probably. It has been that long. Probably. Yeah.
In 2008. I mean, it seems like yesterday, but the world was so different then. But we were doing a comedy show, Nicole, and I had the goth makeup, and Jigga was Jigga, and we were on the show with a bunch of comedians that all looked the same, they sounded the same, they're all doing the same jokes. The crowd was so bored, except when I went up and when he went up, and we went, we started hanging out. We're like, dude, I like what you're doing. He's like, I like what you're doing. Gave me his card. And on your card, it had the N-word. That was the whole card.
Number one nigger in America.
we became fast friends.
Hell yeah.
And now you were known by the full J-word.
Oh yeah, I was Jigaboo Jones back then. That was before all the bullshit started. You know, but they
now when did you drop the boo?
Huh?
When did you drop the boo?
Right after the nappy headed hose incident with Don Imus.
Really?
Yeah, Al Sharpton had come around and was telling people that, this is racist. They're racist. Nappy-headed hoe is something you used to say all the time in the hood. You know, nobody was offended by that. As a matter of fact, people used to laugh about it. And, you know, it was old white guy saying it, so we're going to say it's racist. And Al Sharpton, race hustler that he is, you know, he used that as a cudgel to beat people with. And even at the radio station I was working with in Vegas up here at the Comp, they said, oh, we can't say jigaboo anymore because they said that's a racist term. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. So they said, well, we just have to go by Jigga Jones. And even my distribution company did my first movie, couldn't put jigaboo on the title on the front because it was going into Kmart and Best Buy and stuff like that. They didn't want that.
I saw that. Now what was the title of your first movie?
The first one was called it was supposed to be called Jigaboo Joyride. And they want to show people how to steal cars with a coat hanger, you know. And so they changed it. They said, oh, that's too much. And this is after we went to print. You know, one of my buddies from the hood made a real bomb-ass graffiti of it. It was cool. And then they said, no, we couldn't use that. So then we went to just Jigga Jones. We're just so my black ass sitting there like down the front, you know. And they edited the shit out of it, too. They edited all the comedy out of it. It was just like, oh, this is Jigga Jones. He's just a gorilla out stealing cars, beating people in the head, you know. They didn't see it with laughing and having a good time, rolling, drinking, smoking and laughing, straight West Coast and all that. They didn't show none of that in the video. It was just like, here's the nigga. He's building a weapon. He hits a man in the head with it, takes off and drives off, gets caught by the police, you know. That's all they really showed in it.
Well, see, that's what I love about you. And I think a lot of people misunderstand is I see the humor. I see what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Educating people, you know.
It's a joke, I get it, but a lot of people don't get it. Now, who gets more offended, black people or white people?
White liberals.
Yes.
Because they pretend to be offended. Oh my God. Oh, like what the hell are you on about? Who cares? It's just a word, it's a grown man. You know, but we don't have grown men anymore. We let motherfuckers stay in their parents' house till they're 25. you know.
At least.
Later. I know plenty of 30 and 40-year-olds who are still living at home because they can't make it in the real world right now.
Well, yeah, you fuck the economy up, and then you dumb the people down. You put them in these faggot-ass schools where they learn all this bullshit. Everything is racist, and you can't make it because we say so. If you believe that shit, you will achieve that. Believe and you will achieve, right? That's exactly what it is. I never said, you know, I couldn't be nobody because somebody said I couldn't do it. You know, anything I've always done my own shit. You know, like even like now with this shit, I got to wear the Jordans. I got to wear this. I spend all this fucked up money on a pair of shoes you can step in a turd in, you know, or get jacked for in jail or get shot for on the street. So I always wore just whatever shoes I could get. I didn't care what the name brand was. Right. Shit, when I was real little, I took a motherfucking pair of shoes and we bought it with Zodis or whatever the fuck it was called. And I spray painted the motherfuckers my own colors. Yeah, it was an old store called Zodis.
I don't remember Zodis.
You do?
I don't, but I don't think they have Zodis in my neighborhood. I don't know.
What about Dinko's? Did you ever go there?
I heard of Dinko's. I don't think we ever went.
Yeah, when you ain't got no money, those are the motherfucking places you go to.
Yeah.
It was before Kmart really took off, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nicole, yeah, now how many...
spray painted my own motherfucking shoes. I put...
You put the swooshes on them yourself?
Well, I didn't even realize that there was a shoe like that. But I had put N's on my shoes, like N for my first name, right?
Like New Balance.
Nipsey, right? But yeah, see, I didn't know that. The people, you're trying to fraud some shoes. You're trying to fraud shit. I painted this shit myself. You know, I didn't even know the New Balance, what the fuck it was. You know, some shit like that.
You gotta come out with some Nipsey Balance.
Yeah. You know what? Woo wee. Shit. You know what? It was funny because for a while I was wearing the Nebraska Cornhuskers logo on shit. You know, right. It was like Superman, Super Nigga. You know, see the fucking N on the shirt.
Yeah,
because motherfuckers in the hood didn't know what that was until they was watching football, you know.
Right.
Oh, that's what that is, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So he wasn't a big football fan, nope. You know.
Not a lot of Cornhuskers fans in the hood, I'm assuming.
No, not many. Not many. But just the cops that patrol through there used to be, you know, I'm sure.
Now, Nicole, how many of these guys that live in their basement in their mother's house when they're 30s and their 30s and 40s ask you out? And what do you say to them?
None of them asked me out. I think they know that. I mean, where are you supposed to take a woman? Back home to your mom's basement?
Damn.
That's LA for you. But
I've never been asked out by someone that didn't have, like, the closest that I happened was this guy Drew asked me out, and he lived in a guest house. And even that was kind of embarrassing to me. Because, you know.
Really? I lived in a guest house for years. It was great.
I just, you know, I like
it. Your own interests and stuff is cool, you know. Until the cops come kick the door down in the main house and then they get mad and throw your ass out, which I've had that happen.
Oh, man, dogging on guest houses. Anyway.
Oh, no, guest house is all right until, you know, well, guest house is good because it gives you a buffer. You know, because
I don't like having to meet people that are associated. It's bad enough having to meet roommates. If you have to meet people that have authority over the person you're dating, it's kind of a turnoff.
Yeah, that's not good.
But that's the thing about the guest house. You don't have to meet anybody. You got your own guest house.
Well, I had to meet people.
Oh, yeah. Forget that. Yes. Forget. Now, Jigget, where did you grow up?
Compton.
Okay. I thought so. And that explains the Jerry Curl. Now, we're in 2022. Yeah. You're like the only person I know that still has the Jerry Curl.
Well, if you go down south, there's a lot of people still wearing it, you know, in the south. You know, for me, like when I had my hair all fucked up when I got out of jail that time, and it looked like I looked like what'd they call me, Afro Jones or something like that, because I didn't have no hair product. People don't recognize you. And I'm not trying to get hit in the head nowhere, you know. So people say, "Oh, that's Jigga Jones," or a lot of people say, "That fool's wearing a Jerry Curl. Probably not want to fuck with him."
Really?
So yeah, well, I mean, it was like wearing a crown in the hood because they know you gotta maintain it. You got some kind of money, you know.
Right. Well, is that why you're
not weighing right here? Gotta have a motherfucking no drip activator.
Well, I know all about the activator. When I moved to New Orleans, I didn't have any hair gel, so I went to a Walmart in New Orleans, and I guess it was pretty hood because they had no white hair products. They had just activator, and everything was like they didn't have any gel. It was all activator. It was really weird.
Oh yeah, well, activator boy. That's a good thing to have. The only thing is, if you buy some cheap activator, people can smell it. and it's got that smell to it. People are like, no. You gotta get the, like the no drip S curl. You know, there's a couple of different brands that's cool, but
I didn't know they had no drip activator. That's good. Oh, yeah. That was the thing in the '80s, is that it just,
hey man, ever since Michael Jackson caught fire, they had to come up with no drip activator.
Right.
It was like they were gonna go out of business. You know, that's when the Jerry curl really fell out of favor. People like, oh shit, Michael Jackson and fuck, oh shit. Cause he did that little flick like that. And that, you know, how when you get the little shit going flying and then it boof, up he went. You know, he looked like Richard Pryor. Oh shit, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to have a Jerry curl around explosives, I would not think. Although no. You do. You, because you got players, you got all sorts of explosives. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, but then you gotta do it right though. You can't be out dripping. Like when you want to look good, you go out there and you soak it up. You know, you juice it all up, you know, you look good, right. You be walking around gleaming and shit, you know.
And do the girls like the Jerry curl?
You know what? I don't know. I don't care. But the one I got is good enough, so I'm cool with that.
All right. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to ask, because you were talking about how you look on the street. I was wondering if you ever had, I'm sure you have, what has been your experience with like gangs and stuff in the hood?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was young, you know, they have these things that you got the goon hand, and that's when you're going out and you're robbing folks. You got the pimp hand, you know, guys out pimping on motherfuckers. And then you got like the card hands. We were doing gambling and stuff like that. And then it was the slick hand. So I was kind of like in the slick hand and the goon hand on the side. So what happened is, like, let's say we're in this guy's neighborhood. We're in say Rolling 40s, a Crips neighborhood, and we stealing cars down there. Well, then what we got to do is find out who the shot caller is. And if we make some money, we got to break them off some money and let them know we're going to be in their area. So there were times I was paying the Crips and the Bloods at the same time. That's why in one of my videos you see, you know, some of the shot callers from the major Crips and the Bloods gang all hanging out together.
I was going to ask you about that because that never happens. You're the one that brought the Crips and the Bloods together.
Yeah, well, actually, my uncle was the facilitator during the Truce of 92. Maurice Edwards Goins. He actually sat down and wrote out what the paperwork of the truce was. He tried to get Jesse Jackass to come down there. But his people wanted $10,000, hotel stays, and all kinds of shit. So it was like, hey, motherfucker, we know we're talking about the two biggest gangs in L.A. killing each other. You don't want to come down here, not without no money involved. That motherfucker would not bust a grape. So, and that's real talk. Everybody and the people that knows it. But yeah, the truce was a good thing. You know, it let people know that you fighting over land you don't fucking own. You shooting people you don't even know. And when you find out, when you talk to him for a little bit, man, this dude is just like me. He just wearing a different color rag. But now in L.A., man, you got orange rags, green rags, purple rags. All these different things broke off into all these different little sects over there, you know.
Right. So, no, and I hate to go back from gangs to Jerry curls, but like Ice Cube doesn't even have a Jerry curl there. N.W.A. used to have Jerry curls. Like, that's probably the last big Jerry curl band.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm wearing the Compton curl. Because there was the Inglewood curl that had the big loops where you look like DeBarge, you know, from the thing, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know.
The rhythm of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a lot to maintain, man, because this shit looked big, you know. And what I used to get the racks put in. You know, I had my hair was kind of short, so I'd get the weave put in there, man. And that shit was, like, flowing. God damn, they look like Donna Summer coming out of the motherfucker, you know? You know, shit. You know, goddamn, pimps was looking, look at this nigga's hair. You know?
Did you ever pimp?
No, hell no. No. My uncle was...
As good looking as you are, I'm sure some women stepped to you and wanted your guidance.
You know what? I had some people that was into signing and that shit because, you know, when I'm not trying to crook and crime, I try to do it by myself. Just because whenever you involve somebody else and that motherfucker gets caught or some bullshit. I mean, when I first started out, we was doing burglarizing houses because that was the thing to do. Oh, yeah, you gotta burglarize a house. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And so this dude, Big T-Roy, had a crew, and they would go around burglarizing houses and all this shit. And the thing is, when you're dealing with a bunch of fools and damn fools, and you out here doing this shit, and you're like, why are we out here stealing the $50 fucking TV? What the fuck are we doing? You're going in somebody's house, you're taking all this shit. And see, this is why you have to, in order to keep crime going, you have to keep people really broke so that they don't own shit. Because that way they don't appreciate when they break into somebody's house and steal shit. you know, now that I own a bunch of shit, I'm like, oh my God, I hope no motherfuckers ever fucking come up in here because I'm about to kill somebody.
Well, that's what I was going to get to, because I've seen your recent videos. You're living in Las Vegas, and I don't tell anybody, but you're kind of living in the suburbs with a nice house.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, because I can't live with no bunch of niggas. I have to kill people every day. I got a friend of mine, my cameraman, Jimmy. He lives down there in North Las Vegas. And they spell North Las Vegas with an N for a reason. It's the dark side of town.
That's where you're going to find Thunderbird, if you're going to find
it. Hell yeah. Ooh-wee. I mean, we were down there just a couple of nights ago. We were putting gas in the car.
Now, we're talking downtown, or we're talking down by like the Silver Nugget, or how?
No, down there by the, what's it called? The cannery.
Okay. I know what that is, but. You know what I'm talking about. When you go down to the Silver Nugget, that's the hood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's gotten worse now with the homeless population coming in from L.A., you know, and all that other stuff, too.
Overflow.
Oh, yeah. And the comedy of it is, like, we were down there, and it's like, you don't go down there at night if you're not carrying a gun, you know, just because there are too many fools. Like, back in the day, like, even there was almost I can't say it was a code or an honor. But you didn't get shot over nothing. You know, it was usually something. And something happened, or you were just in the wrong place, wrong time. But there are motherfuckers that'll walk up to you, shoot you in the head, and then check for your wallet. You know, you're going to pick up a murder case, and you don't even know if the guy's got $10? It's fucking crazy. I mean, people didn't used to do that. But nowadays, since motherfuckers don't go to jail and they get out, I mean, shit. Hey, look at me. I moved out of California right before they made it legal to steal shit. You know, goddamn. Now you walk in the motherfucker, just take shit.
Well, I was going to say, Black Friday's coming up. Nicole, I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
That's the start of thieving season legal right now. There.
That's the start of thieving. Tell Nicole how to get some real Black Friday deals.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, Black Friday deals are good. Because remember, the Thanksgiving is the delineating point for criminals. That is when thieving season starts. You know, that's when, the motherfuckers watching TV and doing bullshit and all happy about Christmas and shit. You know, all that bullshit. You find the houses with the most lights on it because they got money to burn. If they can pay for that electric bill, you can come in their house and take their shit. You know, so it's just little simple things like that where you go to the shopping centers and just you don't even have to get out of your car. You sit there in a shopping center playing on your phone, you know, and you watch these motherfuckers going back to the car with bags and throwing it in the trunk, bags, putting it in the car, you know, big ass TVs, loading it in the minivan. Then they walk away. You're like, damn, I sure would like to have that big ass TV. And when they go back in the motherfucking place, you take your fucking spark plug chip and you bust that window, make no noise, take all that shit, you know, and GTFO. You know, you don't even have to go in the store. So most of the time you're not even on the CCTV because the CCTV outside is usually some shit. Or, you know, I'll use a jammer. Back in the day, we used to laugh when Thanksgiving was coming. Motherfuckers would just get pensive and shit. Motherfuckers, oh my God. And I know motherfuckers that wouldn't go outside for the weeks before Thanksgiving because they didn't want to get arrested on the bullshit. They didn't want to miss out. You know, and here you got these motherfuckers, model citizens, sitting there for fucking 2 weeks on ice cubes. You're like, oh shit. You know, I can't get involved in no shit because I want to be out from when motherfuckers are just doing shit. Because people around Christmas just lower their fucking guard down. They do stupid shit. Just throw shit in the car. You got your kids in tow, all walking all lackadaisical and shit. And you get in the car and you bullshit. You get in the car, turn on the keys, put that motherfucker in gear and roll. Don't get in the car, start fucking with your purse, doing some other shit. Oh, let me get the Spotify playlist ready on my radio. That's how you get jacked. And then there's a thing called the Jack Frost. Now that.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about the Jack Frost. Jack
Frost. Oh, man. The Jack Frost is one of the funniest licks there is ever. And however you acquire the car is fine, whether you carjack the motherfucker or you just steal it. And nowadays, with these cars with the keyless entry, you don't even need the key. You get a laptop and a computer code, and you can get in the motherfucker. You just read the VIN number off the thing. Anyway, long story short, I get caught in the minutia sometimes. So. You get, you steal the car. You drive the car down the street, and nowadays, you go to the navigation, you push home. And it tells you where these motherfuckers live. And if you got their car, they're probably not at home. You drive this motherfucking thing all the way to their house, and you go, oh, what's this on the visor? Click. And you open up the garage door, drive on in. And you go through their house and just start taking shit. And hey, then you just take all the shit, you know, and then you, your boys have either met you there or whatever, you still got the car, and you roll off of the car. Now, you got jacked for your car, and when you get home after dealing with the police and all this bullshit, all your motherfucking shit has gone, your house is ransacked. That's a fucking Jack Frost. That was the coldest move back in the day, man. People were like, ooh, this winter gonna be cold. Jack Frost is kicking at your motherfucking door. And we used to, man, and the laughing that you would do after this shit. I mean, it wasn't even, it wasn't even the fucking laughing that you would do. Huh?
It's been my experience. The cops don't do shit about being robbed. I've been robbed twice. And like, the cops just don't give a fuck.
No. Jigga, did you have anything to do with that?
No.
Robin Nicole?
I probably not. I haven't participated in thieving season in some time. But man, it's one of the best times of year for a young crook. You know, what they need to do is stop making young crooks so you don't have that problem. But you know, they love to fucking make sure motherfuckers is poor so you got a thieving class you can be afraid of. Right. So that way when they come for the police budgets and big taxes, you go, oh yes, please save us from the niggas over there stealing all our shit, you know.
Right.
Check a box.
Even though there's some white people Jack Frosting too.
Oh yeah. Man, I had a friend of mine, the most prolific fucking bike thief I ever knew was a white dude. Skinny little white dude. Wasn't on no drugs or nothing like that.
Well, he was
and
on
this
a bike.
Motherfucker would make off with a bike in a minute.
Yeah, he was on a bike. God, Nicole, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the second time someone snatched my purse, I chased them down. They were young. They were got really scared. I don't think anyone ever had chased them before. But oh, I did. No. I was bust. They grabbed my purse off my lap. And then I just like got out of the same stop. They weren't expecting that because they thought it was going to snatch and go. But I jumped out of the bus and I chased them down like three blocks.
That's what you should do. don't fight the criminals. Just let them take shit. That's what's going to make motherfuckers take more shit. Because all these CVS burglaries and shit, when they go in there and grab bags of shit, I'll tell you what, I think it's fair game. If you're stealing some shit, the security guard should be able to beat your ass. You know, if you're in the process of doing something, that's a risk you take. That's right. Part of the life you're living. You know, that's the way we was doing it. You know,
Security guards beat your ass.
Oh yeah.
Criminals these days don't know what it's like. Jigger knows.
That guy threw me at a dumpster.
These soft thieves these days, they don't know what it was like back in the day.
There was a place called the Broadway downtown LA.
I remember.
If you got caught in that motherfucker, they would throw you down the trash chute.
Really?
I would throw your ass down the trash chute. You know, so motherfucker, don't fuck with the Broadway, nigga. And if you do, don't go up on the second floor. Something's gonna be broken, nigga.
So I worked at this bar called The Rainbow for like 6 years.
Oh, okay.
And they're Italian affiliated.
In WeHo?
Yeah, in WeHo. Okay. And so somebody stole one of the guitars out of The Rainbow because we have all this memorabilia. And that person, they didn't call the cops. They went and they used the surveillance footage, looked around the neighborhood, figured out who that guy was, and they beat his ass and got the guitar back.
Yeah.
That should be. They'll tell you, don't fuck with Italians.
It should be justifiable battery. They need to bring that back. You know, you got justifiable homicide in California, which is called 197PC, where, you know, it may cause the regular person to cause the death of somebody else during the effect of an arrest or stopping of a felony bullshit going on. You know, you see a motherfucker out there beating the shit out of your husband or your wife or somebody, you can walk out there with a pistol and say, bam, you know, and you can do that.
But, Jigga, now, it's a shame that they edited that DVD because when you put that out, that was like when Girls Gone Wild and Bum Fights and all this stuff were making millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they could put out a Bum Fight now or Girls Gone Wild or your DVD, but back then, man, you were right in there.
Oh, man, it was a late night television. We were killing it, man. We would sell that. And then also at the Long Beach Swap Meet, we were selling DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Killing it, boy. We were just killing it. I mean, look, you had dope money. You'd walk away with stacks of, I mean, just 20s like this. Just bricks of 20s walking. When $20 was $20.
Right.
You know, when you could go to Taco Bell and feed everybody for $20.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, you get all your buddies together, man. I got a $20 bill. Let's go to Taco Bell. You know.
Now, Jigga, tell Nicole, weddings. Everybody loves weddings.
Oh yeah.
But you really love weddings, and tell Nicole why.
Oh yeah, weddings are one of the best places to rip people off. You know, here's what they do at weddings, and look at this from the outside perspective. You know, you place valuable gifts on a table all in one spot. And then you put envelopes in that same spot or right adjacent to it. We know it's in the envelopes, you know. So a black guy can walk in, you know.
I think Nicole could pull this off. Nicole could pull this off too.
Oh yeah, anybody could. You walk in there in a suit, and you look nice or whatever, and we used to have a little wheelie cart, it had a little squeaky wheel and shit on it. And we say every time the squeaky wheel is running, we make it money. And we would go to weddings, you know, and get to the people out there dancing, having a good time and shit, you know, the whole thing. And he goes, hey, sir, your limo's out back or whatever. Where do you want us to put these gifts? And they'll say, oh, put it somewhere. So, okay, yeah, thank you. And so people see you talking to the wedding party. Then you walk over with the cart and put all the shit on the cart. And then you roll it off into your waiting van or whatever you got going and leave, you know. Because the wedding's not about things anyway. They shouldn't care that all this money is missing and all this, all these things are gone. They didn't get a toaster. They got a toaster at home.
Everybody's drinking, you know, and dancing. And,
yeah, everybody and having a good time. You know, and that's when the arguing starts. But in the night, where are all the gifts? What happened? Where are the envelopes at? Oh, shit. What? Hey.
Well, that Christmas, you're giving out toasters, microwave.
Yeah, man. And people happy. You know, because like in the hood, people be like, oh, man, Jigga Jones and his boys, the Nigga Clan, they cool motherfuckers, you know. And we be giving it, because what are you going to do with four microwaves? You know, you're like, fucking give it away.
There's only so much food to cook. Now, you're like the wedding Robin.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, but the whole thing was like, if they didn't want people to steal this shit, they would check ID at the door. Like you're doing a bar or some kind of thing, you know, they would tell you, oh, you're not part of the thing to come in. Nobody bothers you at a wedding. Everybody's like, come, everybody, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, this motherfucker. Come steal all our shit. You know?
And Nicole, you thought Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson were bad in the wedding crashes. This is...
Oh, yeah. I like
if
that.
If you get married, you see Jigga Jones at your wedding party. If you get married, you got to invite Jigga Jones to your wedding so he doesn't steal your stuff.
Okay. I was thinking that's what an RSVP is for.
Yeah, I'm going to RSVP you when I get married, Jigga, so that you're in the wedding party. And if I see you talking to anybody, they're out. I'm kicking them right out. But your videos on your YouTube channel, they're not all about stealing.
No.
You show people how to make a chair out of a pallet.
Yeah.
Because you're the guru of the ghetto.
Yeah, man. I even show them how people make dresser drawers out of cardboard boxes. You know, just because, like, when you're living and you ain't got a whole bunch of money, you know, you want to have a chair to sit on outside instead of, you know, taking a milk crate. And, oh, fucking milk crates. Milk crates left over. But you take a milk crate out back and
milk
sit on it.
Milk crates aren't good for your ass. It's a little painful.
No. Did you ever see the milk crate challenges?
No, what was that? I missed that.
Oh, my God.
That TikTok.
Oh, my God. You got to see that. This is comedy. We would take these milk crates and you put them together in the hood and you bet somebody, you know, like, hey, if you can make it to the top of the milk crates and down, we'll give you $20. And then it's physically impossible without you being like have cat-like reflexes to do it. So all you get to watch the motherfuckers get fucked up. I mean, if you go on YouTube right now and go milk crate challenge, you see some motherfuckers going to the hospital.
Oh, I can imagine.
Somebody
yeah.
died doing it, and they stopped. You know, they kind of did, but a lot of people made a lot of money because they would put in on this, and you would bet: is he gonna make it? Is he gonna make it? Is he gonna make it? And it was the milk crate challenge with shit. And and that's the kind of thing that we were talking about: come up with victimless shit. To where, you know, you're not going to have to do nothing illegal to make money. And now with this internet bullshit, man, you can do anything, you know.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, us white people with the ice bucket challenge, that's kid stuff. You had the milk crate challenge.
Yeah, we had that. It was fun, though. But, man, we used to laugh. He start clapping for the motherfuckers. And that's the whole thing. When they start doing good, you start clapping for them. And then what happens is they get this ego shit, start going, oh, yeah, I know I'm doing it now. And they're not concentrating on what they're doing, and down they go. Woo! dang.
And you well, talk how many about milk crates are piled up? How many milk crates are piled up? I mean, it's
seven.
Like
usually like seven was the lucky number. So you got right. You go.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds real lucky.
Then two, then three, then four, then five, and then six and seven, and then it would come down on the other side. And going up was always good because you know most of the people their center of gravity is pretty good going up. Right. You start to hit that top step, and you get up there, and your feet start shaking like this, and you got seven crates up under you like this. Woo! And gravity's saying, come on, motherfucker, come on.
Nicole, for our Christmas special, I think we're going to have you do the milk crate challenge. What do you think?
I don't think so. I was curious, did anyone ever win it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's impressive.
One lady won in her high heels, man. I was like, wow. You know, but...
That kind of makes sense, though. Yeah, so... Yeah. It doesn't have, I mean, everybody's feet are flat, so there's more weight, and I guess, yeah, that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, the lady in the high heels did it. There was a few people. There was a guy, a gymnast.
Right.
And unfortunately, the pot was like at $500 by the time he went up there. That was a hurt, boy. He went up there and fucking, damn.
So you can get, how many pallets can you get for $500? Come on.
Oh, you mean those milk crates? Oh, we used to steal those from the back of grocery stores. We didn't pay nothing.
Oh, I know, and you steal the pallets too. I know.
Oh yeah, I don't know if it's stealing. They leave them outside. You know, they don't change.
It's like here in LA. You know, in Los Feliz and all these neighborhoods, first of the month, mm-hmm. you can furnish your whole apartments with all the stuff that's on the walls. Yeah, and
building stuff out of pallets. See, my grandfather was he was big on that shit. He was from the South, and he was real big on that shit to where. In the mornings, the Mexicans would come and drop off pallets in the driveway. And we was young kids. It was our job to break them all down, you know, the flat pieces and the whatever, you know. And we would break them out. And I said, why are we doing all these damn pallets? Ah, you know, and the funny thing was, grandfather taught me a skill, how to woodwork, which was like, I know, I didn't do it. I said, I ain't never going to do this yet in my life. I'm going to be a hustler. I'm going to be a this, that, all this shit I said I was going to do. You know, I'm going to be a gambler. I'm going to do all this shit.
Now you're a hustler that can do woodwork.
Yeah, now I'm hustling that. Man, I go down to this motherfucking farmer's market they got over here. I already sold like a couple of dresser drawers and stuff that I cleaned up. And, you know, they call it shabby chic, you know, rebuilding shit, you know.
Nicole, one of the weird things about the pandemic is that the people at YouTube, they were slipping before, but they had time to actually go over a lot of videos that they never saw. And they took down one of my videos. That had been up there for a long time. And they took down one of your videos, Jigga, that was there for 15 years.
Yeah.
It was on YouTube for 15 years. And they took it down.
That's wild.
Tell the whole story.
The Nigger Homies video. We had a video where there was this guy, some black people that I may have known or been a part of, had stolen this guy's truck. And he was like a plumber or some kind of whatever it was. And I don't know why they stole the truck, what the hell the deal was behind it, but this guy jumped on YouTube and started showing pictures of the truck and then yelling at, I know it was some fucking niggers that stole it and blah, 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 blah. So he had this rant and we put it to music and then had us laughing and smoking weed and drinking in the background. And it was up for a long time. The guys, they steal our cars, they rape our women, these fucking niggas, blah, 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 blah. The guy's screaming and yelling. I mean, just, and we put it to music. It was the funniest shit you ever seen. You know, then the motherfucker really got mad after that. But yeah, it's a video.
How many hits did it have on YouTube? It probably had a lot.
Yeah, it was up for years. I'd forgotten about the video. You know, this is back when we were stealing shit from the Klan. And stuff, and you know, the comedy was for every item we stole, people sent us more items. You know, there was a guy that's it was by accident. They had some Southern Gentlemen's Convention in Burbank, and we had this rental car that we had the keys to, and we bust the trunk open and take shit. Well, one time,
Gentlemen in Burbank, Southern Gentlemen's Convention in the 2000s,
yeah, of course, it was no big deal, nobody thought about it. And he busts open the trunk in his rental car. We had a key in, and there was a Klan outfit in the back of it with a Nazi flag and some other racist bullshit. And it was so funny because the look on his face was like, because we were expecting a laptop, a bag, you know, just like every other week. What the fuck?
You didn't expect a Klan uniform and a Nazi flag. And
we're like, well, we got the right car this time. And after that, people started sending us shit. And they sent us some Klan Unity flag and said, look, my friend would be really pissed off if you had one of these. And they would send stuff to us in the mail. And we opened it. What the fuck is this? And it'd be a note attached. Hey, this is my father's Klan hood. Look at this, that, this is so-and-so. And it was funny. We were getting like Nazi armbands and all kinds of weird shit in the mail. And then it was like the producer was like, you might have to be more careful in this mail because somebody could send you a bomb in the mail. And I'm like, well, how am I going to use a bomb they send in the mail? And he's like, no, you're not going to use it. You're going to open it. And it's going to blow your ass up. And I'm like, oh, shit. So we started sending all our shit to a P.O. box.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if it blows anybody up, it'll be the post office people to get.
And you know how the post office is always open to people's mail? Because I got a package this week. It was somebody, you could tell it was open. I can just imagine people opening your shit that would send to you.
Oh, yeah, somebody get pissed off. Yeah, but we have all kinds of stuff. They sent us all kinds of just crazy shit. And when we were doing the circuit with Steve-O, they would send us dildos in the mail and all kinds of crazy way out shit. And then the return address would say something fucked up on it. You know, like the newly AIDS, whatever, you just contracted AIDS society. And then there it is, and it's got your name on it. So the people would
look at you,
picking up your fucking mail, like, look at shit, like, oh, look at this dude. You know, it was dildos for dudes and something. I mean, all kinds of shit they would send mail. It got to the point we'd send the intern down to go get the mail, you know.
Tell me about hanging out with Steve-O. I forgot about that.
We used to have this thing called Nigga Nights. And that was where we would have, we would do college circuit. College circuit used to be a big deal before all this SJW bullshit happened.
Right.
We had nigga nights back in 2008. Everybody would come as a black person, you know. And then after Tropic Thunder came out, we had the actual makeup teams that would turn people into black people. I mean,
you had a good name for it. I saw that video. It was called
Nigga Night.
No, but there was
the Compton Cookout. That was the one that fucked up.
I'm going to be quoting your video, so please don't get mad.
You can't offend me.
You had the niggerizer.
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about that. Oh, shit, man. Yeah, we had a lot of fun, man. And the more outrageous it was, the better it was, the niggerizer. You stepped through the niggerizer, and all it was just a booth. Where you would step in, because what was happening was people would see when you came into the party what you were wearing, so they could guess who you were. So we came up with this thing called the Niggalizer, which was right off the you could see it, right? A booth off to the side. That way, when you came in, nobody saw what you're wearing, you know, and then they trained you into black. And the only time you could really tell is if you looked in their ear, because it'd be a white thing in the ear, because the makeup was so good, and the nose, the piece, the applique they put on the nose. We had a lady, I can't tell her name now, because she's still in the industry now. Now she would get blacklisted, literally.
how ironic.
You know, but she turned people, it was so motherfucking convincing. And one of the guys, and I always talk about this skinny white kid, they made him up as Little Wayne. He had a mop handle on his head, the mop thing, you know, they turned it black with a spray thing. And he came out and they drew all the tattoos on with a Sharpie marker. And he came out and did the whole, yeah, what, okay, all that shit. It was so funny. And everyone had a good time. Everybody was laughing. I mean, just absolute fun. Everybody had a good time. Nobody was at the party crying. Nobody was offended. Nobody walked out of there, oh, God, they're making fun of black people. None of that shit. Everybody had a good time. And it was $40, drink all night. Jigaboo Jones is doing it right. You know, it had the whole thing, you know. So it was open bar for $40. And
that's good.
This is the one where they fucked up. This is the Compton Cookout when it got fucked up at the end. Because we were going to UCSD in San Diego. And that was one of the spots. So that's when I had the 619 number, the nigga line, on the phone. And then I was flying back and forth to Vegas. I was doing the Palms comedy show. I was running the Playboy comedy tour thing.
Right.
And then what ended up happening was the security, which we had good security after they had fucking just tore places up and, you know, motherfuckers just drink and don't know what to do. But the security recognized these two guys from last year that started a fight. So when they came, they said, oh, no, we can't let you guys in. You guys can't handle your drink. You guys got to go. So rather than just leave and say, yeah, we fucked up last year and we started a fight, blah, 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 blah. No, they went and told people, oh, the Klan is throwing a party over there. It was a blackface party. And that lie, as false as it was, hit the fucking news. It was on TV. It was
It's technically correct.
The Klan throwing it?
No, the Klan's not throwing it, but it is a black it is a blackface party.
You're technically dark brown.
Okay. So did Steve-O go in blackface?
No. This is he went to the one that we had at USC.
Right.
And the USC was another one where the guy threw a chair off and destroyed some property and some other stuff that happened. I mean, but back then that was expected at a party. You know, somebody's going to break something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good party. It's not a party until things are broken.
Throwing beer cans off into the Medici Hotel. There was the 110 freeway comes down there. And we went up to the balcony. Steve-O and a bunch of guys are throwing shit onto the freeway. Empty beer bottles and beer cans and shit. And we're like, you know, people were hitting cars. It was funny at the time. I don't know why it was funny, but it was.
It sounds funny to me.
You know, we're fucking throwing shit. Everybody, fuck this. Throwing bottles. And then, I don't know if I should say his name, but I'll say his last name is Zappia. And you can figure that out. Called Steve-O and said, hey, you're on a live stream doing some illegal shit. MTV, Viacom's going to fucking have a fit. So
the Jackass was still on the air, or he was on
MTV. Yeah. Okay. So he had to get the fuck up out of there, you know, and we deleted a lot of footage, you know. But people that saw the shit went out live, you know, and what was that, Break? What was it, Break and something else, Daily Motion or whatever the hell it was at the time. We had this shit going, boy. It was some funny shit, you know. We would, because what was happening is a guy would film for 10 minutes, upload it. Another guy filmed for his 10 minutes, upload that.
See, the kids don't know how the live stream used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to film like 10 minutes at a time so that way the person could catch it up. You know, it was part one, part two, part three, you know. And we were sending shit out because there were a lot of people that wanted to see it. And we was destroying shit. We fucked the Medici up. I mean, it was like they have like a no noise rule. We paid the fucking security off. I mean, it was just.
Digger Jones and Steve-O fucking shit up. I'll watch that.
Hell yeah.
Funny shit. And it was before Steve-O was Steve-O. People didn't know who he was completely. Right. He was just one of the guys at Jackass at the time. But he used to do college circuit.
Right. Because it's weird that you got, like, UCSD was the one that really fucked you up. Because isn't UCSD, like, 90% Asian? I hate to be stereotypical.
Pretty much.
No, but.
And you know what? The stupid thing about it was the Black Student Union, they had some race hustlers there. And every supposed racist incident that happened after that, the Black Student Union did it. The cotton that was found on the ground, they thought, oh, the white students threw cotton on the ground to insult the Black people. No, find out later it was the Black folks. Then the hood that was put on the statue. Oh, look at that. Oh, what white people are trying to assert their dominance. It wasn't. It was Black people again, just trying to drum up some shit. And then,
this leads to a good segue. Because this is flowing by so fast. Nicole, I told you, Jigga's great, and I knew this is going to be a great show. We still got a ways to go, and I would be remiss if I didn't get this in, because obviously, cancel culture, political correctness, you were canceled before cancel culture.
Oh, yeah, they banned Alex Jones, they banned Jigga Jones.
Right, they, you know, with all the stuff that's going on, especially, I guess, recently, you got the Kanye West and the Dave Chappelle and all that other stuff. What's your take on that?
Well, you know what?
Kyrie Irving, I don't even know what he did, but he did something.
The thing is now, people are putting too much behind what somebody says. You know, well, Kanye West says this. Do you live your life by what this motherfucker says? I mean...
Exactly, well, some people do.
They got bigger problems.
Yeah,
exactly. Well,
here's a motherfucker that could buy and sell everybody 10 times over, but you're worried about what the fuck he says. He's not a philosopher. You didn't put that motherfucker in public office. you know, or what the fuck it is. You know, he's just a nigga out there doing, selling music, you know, and talking shit.
He's a has-been rapper.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to him since 2005. He's about as relevant as a Quiznos now. I mean, who still listens to Kanye West?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just not like I'm, oh, geez, the Ukraine war and the Russian situation. I wonder what Busta Rhymes thinks of this. Who cares?
You know, and that's another thing. The people don't realize that they take themselves too seriously. You know, when these reporters get in their face and go, what do you think of the situation in Ukraine? The motherfuckers just say, look, even on a full tank of gas, I can't drive there, so I have no opinion that matters. Thank you. Next question. That's what should be said.
So I mean, you don't believe that people should take a stand on issues that they feel passionate about, or that they
take a stand and do all that shit? But the thing is, if it's none of your business, it's none of your business. You know, like somebody coming to your house, I don't like the way you treat your cat. I think you should be doing this. None of their fucking business. Get the fuck out. Keep stepping. Come any closer, you might get a receipt for our contact today. You know. But yeah, people getting in motherfuckers' business is the problem. People need to learn to mind their own shit. You know, even if it's not your country and all that, well, we want to stand up for the people. Go over there and go do it then. Don't do it from over here, motherfucker. Go take your motherfucking ass over to the fucking Ukraine. Go join with these motherfuckers out there, these Nazis out here that we're saying, oh, they're good people. The fuck they are. You know, and you're going out there doing all this shit, fucking up somebody else's, your country with your fucking tax dollars. How would you like it if some motherfuckers came up here from XYZ country and says, we don't like the way you're doing shit in your town. We're going to blow all your shit up because you guys are fucked up. Which they should do. California, they should come to California. Hey, we don't like this young Satanist club you motherfuckers are starting out there. Or we don't like what you guys are doing with these children and these drag shows and got all this bullshit going on. We're going to come blow all this shit up because we don't like it. None of your business. You don't live here. You don't got to stay here. That's all I'm saying. There's too many people buttoning other people's business when they got shit going on in their own house. You know, like these motherfuckers have no business sending that money to fucking Ukraine. Fix fucking Chicago first. Talking about, oh, people are killing each other in the street. Have you seen motherfucking Chicago? They got a goddamn tail gunner on a beer truck in that motherfucking neighborhood. The crime's so out of control. Shit.
I simultaneously agree and disagree with everything that you just said. But there is a controversial video of you having an issue with somebody putting a Mexican flag on their car.
Oh, yeah.
Which contradicts exactly what you just said.
Oh, yeah, man. Ooh, shit. That was some funny shit. Well... You got to roll it back. You got to roll it back to MySpace.
I didn't know all the stuff. I was going back to MySpace. Matt, we really need to go back to MySpace because the shit now ain't working. Social media is not fun.
That's going back to MySpace, man. The Mexicans had hacked my account several times over.
Oh well, that's different.
Put all this shit all over the fucking thing, and I said, man, wait a minute. And then this dude rolls up talking about, Mexico. Hey, man, Mexico's so fucking great. Go back there. If you don't like this motherfucking place, you want to talk shit about all this shit, get the fuck out. If Mexico was so fucking great, you wouldn't be here right now. Get the fuck out with that bullshit. You know, this country may be as fucked up as possible. Huh?
Yeah, I didn't get the entire context. I just saw a video of you trashing a guy's flag on the top.
They were flying that shit on July the 4th. Oh, fuck you will. Hell no. You know, all that shit. Look here, this country may be, it's just like, your sister may be the biggest slut in the whole world, but nobody else is allowed to say that but you, right?
Well, the guy she's fucking too, but that's another
yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
but right. I was going to say.
All the guys in line said, I'm next, you know.
Now, Gary Garver, who was on the Howard Stern show and actually is responsible for us having a podcast, and Nicole, we got to have him on again because we've had him on the show before, and he's always
there. For sure. Yeah.
Last time we had him on, with a girl pop singer, which was quite a culture shock. But, I'll send you that. But how did you hook up with Gary Garver? And now you are the morning host sometimes when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
If you wake up in the morning of Control Chaos.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, I was at a radio station back then. It was called KYHY, which was a Burbank community radio. It was a low power FM deal that was in Burbank. And if you drove down past City Hall, damn near you couldn't hear it. You know,
it didn't make it to Glendale?
No. No. It was low power FM. And well, I guess once they opened up and then once it started going bigger, they started the internet thing. And then we met Gary because Gary had this thing called Double GTV.
Right.
Back then. And then some of his hosts and our hosts crossed over. And then that's how I met him, because I was doing the Jigga Jones show then, because I was in Vegas up here doing a show here. It was way tame. You know, you couldn't say a lot of things. But I come back to L.A. and I just start ripping it up on the internet.
Right.
That's what Gary came by. And then my co-host at the time was my crazy-ass cousin that was hitting on his girlfriend at the whole thing. It was some crazy shit. And inside of a sidebar, Gary and I talking. I was like, man, what the fuck is going on here? You see this? And,
your cousin was hitting on Gary's girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the kind of nigga he was, too. That's what he would do.
Right.
You know? And that's probably why he's not around no more. You know, anytime.
Now, do you get as pissed off when people hit on your friends as Nicole does?
No. No, I don't care. You know, my whole thing is I try to keep my feelings away from somebody else's nose.
Right.
You know, if I can say like we disagree about things about other countries and stuff, because right. I've seen it. Where motherfuckers in the suburbs, like when I was living in L.A., would talk about, we don't like the way those niggers live down there in Compton. Go down there and do something. And you get these motherfuckers that would come down to fucking Compton for a day, hand out a couple of sandwiches and some bullshit, and stand there and preach at people and point and wag their finger at these people, and then fucking leave. You know, meanwhile, you're down there, they've just inflamed a bunch of motherfuckers, and now you got the community mad at you. You know, you know, back in the day when you're selling dope, you know, you don't think about, well, you know, the neighborhood, this, the neighborhood, that. You just think, hey, man, I got a lot of customers coming in, you know, and they're coming back. And you don't think about the dope head that's going off and robbing the fucking neighboring community, you know, to be able to fix the drug habit. You know, that's not shit you think about. You're just like, hey, man, I check $4,000 a day, motherfucker. I can save my $100 bills and spend the rest, you know.
Don't I know it. But Jigga, you're against legal marijuana.
Oh no, I'm not against it.
I don't know. I thought I based on your videos, you so and maybe this is back in the day, but you kind of was like, well, what are we supposed to do now? It's all legal.
Well, yeah. I mean, they took away an industry from people. You know, when people selling weed. I mean, my buddy from Jamaica, you know, Mr. Gunji. You know, he used to have his little thing, and now Mr. Gunji's got a whole goddamn shop now. But in the beginning, if you remember, that was a very closed industry. You had to damn near be invited into to the little circle of people that they were going to allow to sell weed.
Right. Like, no, you had to get a permit. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, you know, all that bullshit. So I was against the regulation of it. If they said it's legal, then let everybody motherfucking sell it then. Don't make a fucking shop. Don't make a fucking bunch of permits. Well, and the motherfuckers were such bitches and hoes. When they were trying to legalize, well, just tax it, and it'll be fine. You just tax it. You know, don't give these motherfuckers carte blanche to tax some shit that grows out of the fucking ground. I mean, this is the same thing. This is where this shit comes from. Well, we could tax it. We could make all this money. Oh, here we go. Fuck. You know, and out here in Vegas, they're wondering, where did all the weed money go? They don't know where the fuck it went. But motherfucking Sisolak bought two motherfucking Learjets that he didn't need. But yet they don't know where the money went. Oh, we have no idea where the money went. But motherfuckers got two brand new motherfucking Learjets and so many $1 million a piece. Where did that money come from? Oh, don't ask that. We're not going to do an audit for another 5 years. You know, what the fuck, you know?
I'll tell you where that money went, right here.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Jigga, let me ask you, because I know you got a girlfriend, but what type of women do you like? What's your type?
Well, you know, she used to be with the Mexican Mafia. You know, so.
Oh, really? So you like the Latinas?
Like spicy women.
Yeah, you know, she was in the same industry. So we hooked up.
Oh, really? Okay. Interracial relationship. Has that caused any problems?
Nope, not really. In the beginning, I had to be like, well, what the hell's going on over here? What are these motherfuckers with these big ass shoes on? Big ass shoes, big ass tips on the front of the shoes, you know.
And how big are her nails?
Regular.
Oh, okay.
Yep, because she don't bit her nails no longer than she can hit somebody in the face with it.
Because you know,
today, you know, shit.
Man, I've seen some girls, man. I used to. Now you're in Las Vegas. You might actually know a few people, and you might actually relate to this. I used to work at the Equifax call center at Sitel.
Don't know nothing about that.
Oh yeah, no, that's it was a ghetto job working for Equifax. So ghetto, I walked in 2 days later, people asked me if I was undercover boss.
Wow.
Like half the girls had like acrylics on their nails. but like this long.
Oh, you know, wow. Kind of,
it was ghetto, man.
Well, you wonder how they wipe their ass. You know, when you got
when they get the big nails, yeah.
Yeah, oh, man. Mm. Are you making food? You doing all that little cramming thing with your hand? No. Nope.
You don't let, if a girl's got nails like this, you don't let her make the stuffing.
No, because you don't know what she got up under her fingernails.
It's fucking gross.
Yeah, nasty shit. Now, if you're doing a show or something like that, you're just putting them on for the show. Great, take them off. You're good, you know. But
yeah, the press ons are fine. But
But these motherfuckers getting on the bus, you know, doing that shit, you know, doing this shit or doing this, putting the money in, you know, because they ain't got no damn fingers that they can use.
Now, Jacob. Now you've been with Gary. I mean, you guys. 7 years now, right?
Yeah, man.
Now, and you know, Gary's known for his off-the-wall interviews and asking crazy questions.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of videos where you were asking some crazy questions. Tell Nicole some of the crazy questions you ask celebrities.
Well, you know, we'd go to that thing and I'd ask them, you know, Popeyes or KFC? Because that's something I would want to know. You know,
like, and the answer is Popeyes, of course.
Popeyes.
You know, sometimes, yeah, you know, yeah. But man, you get KFC going on. You don't know what's going on with Popeyes, boy. That'd be doing it. Or Golden Bird versus Popeyes. But the person's got to be like from LA, damn near, to get Golden Bird for sure.
I don't even know Golden Bird.
Man, you got to go down to Watts.
Okay.
You drive somebody else's car or somebody else's car. not until after Christmas. But
yeah. No, I'm gonna wait till New Year's at least. But I'm gonna do it between Halloween and Thanksgiving. That's when everybody's like you said, that's when everybody's keeping it above board.
Oh, but, yeah. If you notice, if you look, you can look on the LAPD's crime statistic. You notice the crime goes down between Halloween and Thanksgiving. And that's the reason why. And then it spikes like a motherfucker.com come Thanksgiving to Christmas.
You know, I told people before, and I've told Nicole, I've been to Watts and I've been to Compton, and there are nice parts of Compton.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Really nice. Yeah,
there's shitty parts too, but there are nice parts of Compton and Watts.
Yeah, my aunt bought a really nice house down there in Watts. And, you know, it's cool. You just don't go out at night. You know, but you know, it's real nice. You know, it's just like my friend that down there, they got a loft down there in downtown LA. They said, man, they love it. They get out there in the nighttime. You look outside, the view is beautiful. You know, we're up there kicking it, man. We ran out of booze. And I'm like, damn. I said, oh, let's go somewhere. And he's like, no, you don't go out at night, dog. We're downtown LA. He's like, no, you don't go down. You don't, we ain't going nowhere.
You get it delivered. You don't go downtown. You don't. Yeah,
that's exactly what we did. We had to get that. What do you call it? Store to door?
Yeah, yes, DoorDash or Postmaster. Yeah. No, I was downtown. I rode the train downtown to do a gig last week, and I passed a homeless guy on the corner, had his pants around by his knees, and he was sticking a pencil up his ass or a tampon. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I didn't get close enough to find out.
That's was it a number two pencil?
and I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? They don't really make pencil sharpeners anymore. Who the fuck uses a pencil anymore? So I guess he's got a point.
Contractors use
no pun intended.
I think he definitely got the point.
there you go, Nicole. Now, I mean, has there any celebrities given you a hard time for the questions? Because I know Gary's been gotten into fights from some of the questions that he's asked. And I've had a few people. I went to a Trump rally and I got somebody got really aggressive with me. And has anybody gotten aggressive with you, celebrities or anything?
No, I looked too crazy. People didn't want to fuck with me. They would just turn around and leave, you know. A dude wearing a Jerry Curl and a tuxedo is kind of like, let's go ahead and pass this. Because, you know, the thing is, nobody was like, oh, he denied that black reporter. Oh, my God. Somebody would do some shit like that. Somebody would virtue signal like a motherfucker. They'd be like, oh, he denied the black guy. Oh, he answered all our questions, but he wouldn't ask him. The poor black man just wanted to find out about some chicken, you know.
And you know that's why Gary brought you along.
I don't know. We just did it because we were going to say some crazy shit and laugh. We were the only ones drinking. We had tall boys. We're sitting there doing like this, you know, in between
Gary's the people. Drinking some OE?
You know, he had, what the hell did he have? A Pabst or some shit. He had a bunch of tall boy can of some shit. You know, I had a little bottle of Thunderbird. You know, it was good, you know.
Yeah.
We would get fucked up. And then by the end of the night, you asking all kinds of shit. You sound like Joe Biden at the end of the night.
Nicole and I have seen Gary Garber drunk. It's a funny sight.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, but he can snap at people though. He gets a little aggro when he gets drunk. Some drunks are just like, when I get drunk, I'm like kind of laid back. Some people get drunk and they get real aggressive. He's somebody. You get a couple of drinks in him, he could snap.
Hey, he's got that white boy flair. You know, I didn't know that people got drunk and fought until I was like much older. Because you know, in my house growing up, people get drunk, they laugh at each other, somebody pass out, that was the end of it.
Right. You know. Right.
Went off to go hang out with some white folks at the damn thing. Man, motherfuckers want to fight. We're gonna fight. Punch me, bro. Motherfucker, step on me, dude. You want a piece of this? Like, what the fuck is going on? You drinking and doing this? Oh shit! Motherfuckers are crazy.
That's what. You know? What do you think slam dancing and moshing came from? That's how we roll.
I know girls that do it too. Girls that drink and they get very, very aggressive.
Oh yeah.
We got to remember. I used to play in the thrash metal band. Well, technically, it was death metal.
No, I remember. I saw the video. I saw the video. It was good.
Yeah, man. We fucking did all that shit, man. It was funny because we had
How do you headbang with a Jerry Curl? That's what I want.
Oh, it was no big deal. You know what? I went to the boot rally in Hayden Lake. What year was that? That was, 2006?
Okay.
I played with a band called the Bully Boys, which is a skinhead band. Their drummer had got arrested.
Right.
And oddly enough, in L.A.
So have you.
Yeah, but he got arrested. He got arrested the night before the concert, and I had played drums for them before because they weren't really a skinhead band. They were skinheads and all that shit, but they weren't racist and all. They were doing that for the money. I don't know if you guys ever know about like Anthony Pierpoint and the Panzerfaust. Do you ever hear about that?
No, but I don't think we have time. But I will just sum it up in that. There are racist skinheads and there are non-racist skinheads. Not every skinhead.
Like the Sharks and all that shit.
There are skinheads that are totally like anti-racist. Like that's their whole shtick.
Oh yeah. But these guys were funny, you know, the whole thing, and we had a good time. You know, and the people see these pictures of me hanging out with, look, Chica Jones is gonna get hung by the Nazis. Like, these motherfuckers are too drunk that everybody can hang their hand out the window, let alone hang a motherfucker in a tree, you know, fuck, you know, shit.
And geez, I could talk to you all night, but we're gonna have you back on soon. I think
yeah,
maybe,
man. Let me know anytime, man. It's the problem.
I know you're right probably booked for Black History Month, like you guys, we'll try to get some
regular stuff.
And if you're in LA, we'll get you in the studio, and we'll
I'm not trying to go to LA. You guys need to come to civilized countries. You know
that was my last question. Now, why did you move to Vegas?
One, they threw me out of LA County.
Oh, they did. How did that happen?
Yeah, the court said that I was a nuisance and some other shit that happened, and they told me I couldn't live within LA County for 5 years or whatever.
Oh, really?
I didn't know it's still exiled people.
Yeah, well, some judge's Land Rover accidentally caught on fire. I think somebody left the road flare under the tire. But he was an asshole judge, and he was bullshit, and he called me out, and I wasn't even on trial. I'm just sitting there in the thing, and he says, "Hey, you, Nipsey Washington, da 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 da, you're blah 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 blah." And you know what? Spontaneous combustion happens in L.A. But after that,
and if a road flare just happens to be in the vicinity, yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean that caused it.
They had no evidence at all. This is before I even did a video. It was years before later I told people about that kind of stuff. But they knew, but they didn't know, but they couldn't prove it. So that when I went to an unrelated court case, they said, "You know what? We're going to banish you from the city." And then the county, which was a county court, so I had to leave L.A. County. And I was like, well, fuck it then. I'll just go to Vegas. I got a house up there already. Fuck it.
Shit, maybe I should commit a crime so I get banished too. Maybe I'll get some.
We had a crew that did 3 home invasions in one night just to prove that they could do it. I don't know who they were. But anyway, it was really funny at the time. But, you know,
is that a Guinness record? Is that what's the record for home day?
It should have been. Channel 7 was like, we don't know if these are related, but you know, it's a scary thing to think. it was funny because, you know, one of the places they hit was a sober house, which probably wasn't the best target, but they kept seeing people coming and going. They thought it was a dope house, you know.
Right.
They thought, oh, we're gonna hit the dope dealers. Let's get some money.
No, you're hitting some broke people getting in rehab.
Yeah, and then
they already spent all their money on drugs.
Money, and you're seeing all these people in there. They start busting people in the head, busting people open, bop, bop, give me the money. And it was like, they didn't have any money. These guys were like parolees, just like them. They're just halfway house kind of thing. So it didn't build good press, but it was funny because the Gil Garcetti at the time was like, we're going to crack down on these criminals. And blah, 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 blah. Hey, they couldn't find their ass or their fucking turn around in a mirror. They couldn't do it. And it, we just showed that we were that much. And that was back when we had Nextels. You know, oh, man.
Well, those were the days.
It was. But you know what? I look back at that and go, man, I wish I could have done something more constructive. You know?
I love that. Like, everybody had the flip phone.
Yeah.
And then they have this. And now they got flip phones again. It's so stupid.
Flip phones are back. What the fuck?
That's what it is. Bell bottoms came back. You know, everybody got rid of the bell bottoms and all that shit.
And now, Jericho doesn't come back.
Everybody look like me.
Right. Activator's going to make a comeback.
Yeah, well, Activator's they're not gone nowhere. They just stopped sponsoring me.
Give
me a case off every once in a while. Just like Captain
Morgan. Fates came back. Fates came back.
Yeah, it did. That's true. So, all this stuff comes back because, you know what, people are too unimaginative nowadays to come up with their own shit.
My favorite is they had tube TVs that were curved. Then they have flat TVs. It's like, okay, we finally made it. They're flat. They're great. And they're like, well, how can we make more money? We'll curve it the other way, which is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
The white man.
If they can get you to buy it, they got you.
They got us. Now, Jigga, you don't have to sell DVDs anymore because there's YouTube, there's the internet. You have a whole, around the world, people are getting texts and emails from you, your updates. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and how they can see all this funny content. And let me tell you something. I love Jigga Jones. Jigga Jones is hilarious. And if you don't get the joke, I don't think you get any jokes.
Yeah, man, they go to JiggaJones.com before it's banned. And then I text message stuff when I can, you know, to people, and it goes out in the ethos of the internet, you know.
Now you got my number, so I'm gonna get text messages or text messages that Scientology sent me. So,
well, no, you have to sign up to it because I can't do it without you opting in.
Oh, okay.
They got that rule when you send out mass text that you have to have a copy of the person saying that they want to get text from you.
Right. No, I definitely will get text from you because you're hilarious. And go to, so your website
likewise,
is
good man. When are you coming to Vegas?
Soon. No, I'm planning on coming soon. So I definitely want to come. Cool. It's all up in the air. But
when you
sometime
see
between now
how
and
you can live out here for half the money, you'll figure it out one day.
No, I lived there. I lived there for I was in there from 2017 to 2016 to 18.
Oh, so you were here when it was good. When money was falling out of the sky.
Oh yeah, no, I was there for it's changed a little bit, but I'll be back.
Man, when I first got here at the Palms, they were paying $500 per night, $250 a show when you did a comedy show out here, and now you'd be lucky to find a place that'll try to pay you anything.
And you know what? The Palms is out of business now.
It sure is.
JiggaJones.com, and you can get all your hilarious.
Maybe my movies are on there for free. If somebody's foreclosing your house, I'll show you how to fuck it up and get your money out.
Now, are you selling these t-shirts that you have? Because I see all these t-shirts and this merch that you got.
Well, you know what? I killed myself when it came to doing the t-shirts. I showed people how the credit card fraud worked. And the day after, I had zero sales after that. Nobody would put their credit card numbers in the computer. Because I showed them, this is how it works. You do the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. And my agent was like going, something's happened here. What did you do on this day? And I said, I did, just like when I was on the radio and I told the people, said, what if you do if your fans can't buy your DVD? Go ahead, steal you one. We still get paid. I shouldn't have said that. You know, sometimes when you say the truth, people don't want you to say that. So you go,
Right. You got to keep that on the DL just for your friends.
Yeah.
But it's.
Yeah. So I don't really currently sell any merch for real, you know, right now. You know, who's going to wear a number one nigger t-shirt? In this climate, I mean, I'm damn near. I wear it. I have to wear. I have to take a gun with me when I go because I've had people. I've had black people. Who the hell do you think you are? Because what I think it pretty much says, you know, I think it says this. I guess so. Is there somebody that's taking my place? And then, I find it highly offensive. Why? Because I'm better than you.
You know. I. I'd wear it, but I'd probably last about 30 seconds. So I don't think I'm going to buy one of those.
We get you an Afro wig, boy. You'd be all right.
Yeah, yeah. I got to go in that.
I'm an albino up in this motherfucker, you know?
Right, right. Now, one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's number two?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't even know. I'm so far ahead, I haven't even looked back.
Well, Jigga, I had a great time. And, you know, Thanksgiving was born out of white people oppressing people, and Jigga Jones is pushing back.
I guess so. You know, I just don't see the world as so white and black, because a lot of people I know, I don't really care what color they are. You know,
I don't care what color anybody is.
We used to just make fun of each other. You know, all exactly. The races made fun of each other. Everybody had a good time. Nobody went home crying, oh, I'm a black nigga. Oh, God. He's a chink. Oh, Lord. No, we all had a good time. You know, but now everybody's, oh, he called me a name. I'm going to go sit down and go cry. We need to fix that. That's got to get fixed first. And unfortunately, it's going to take people like you, you know, your co-host, people like me to start telling people, because everybody else is lying to these folks. You know, it's like, you know, it's just crazy shit that's going on, and we got to do something about it.
We're all survivors. We're all in this together, and let's laugh together.
Hell yeah! If we can't laugh at each other, we can't laugh at all.
And Nicole, tell everybody about your poetry book, Slow Burn. I didn't know how to segue into that, but tell them about that and everything you got going on.
So you can find me on Instagram at Nicole Six Books, and there's a link in my bio, or you can find me on Facebook at Nicole H6, and there's also a link in my bio there.
And it was great to see you die a horrible death in the movie Slice.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
You were billed as Nicole H6. Is that like a SAG thing, or what happened with that?
I think they just billed me based off my Facebook name, because that's how they know me.
And I want to thank James Balsamo. We're going to have him on soon, who directed, and John Hitt, who did that movie. And also, I want to thank Joseph Kelly, who I went to another. We went to two movie premieres.
I saw the pictures. It looked like a lot of fun.
We went to the movie Slice, which is a golf horror movie where Nicole got killed a horrible death. Mm. And I went to see Night of the Tommyknockers with Richard Grieco and got to meet him and took a picture with him. He's a real nice guy. And Tom Sizemore was in it. And definitely look out for both those movies. I had a great time. I laughed a lot, and as I always do with Jigga. And you know what? We're all in this together. Let's laugh together and make fun of each other.
Hell
and,
yeah.
Yes. And I am Goth, so I am going to cry, but not for that. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Follow me, Goth, on all social media. Bye.
Bye.